This week, USDA updated the crop production and WASD figures. We'll find out what impact they have had and what our expectations are going forward for the size of the U.S. corn crop today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Our special guest today is Bill Turney. He's at Ag Resource Company out of Chicago, Illinois. In studio with us today, Jackie Bakes from Stuart Peterson in Champaign County. We'll also have on the phone line Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, and Brian Stark from the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. Well, let's start our program with our regular habit, which is to get a list of important items from our panelists and our guest. And we'll let our guest, Bill Turney, take some moments while he's listening to the list that comes from the rest of the folks and maybe fill in some items. We'll start, Bill Gentry, with you today as to what's on your list of highlights for the week.
Well, I think realistically, we're going to be watching the corn yields quite a bit. Harvest is going to get a lot more underway next week. We have heard some fantastic yield reports out of the south, but as the harvest works its way north, we'll be watching those numbers and also be watching the weather forecast. You know, some of these guys are going to get a little bit cold this weekend, maybe a little warmer next week, but the growing season up north is not progressing very well, especially for the soybeans, so we'll be watching that pretty close.
It's the corn yields and weather forecast. How about from you, Brian Stark of the Andersons?
I would agree and say that the corn yields are important, specifically with the implied ears per acre growing to another record with the release yesterday from the USDA. Obviously, big crops get bigger, but the critical thing for us this week is to encourage the producer that there's still things they can do, even with a bearish market trending lower with the crop size getting bigger.
Okay, and Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson?
Of course, I think, you know, the USDA, we definitely have to still talk about that report. South America, Argentina old crop, Brazil starting planting, making sure guys are checking what they're going to get charged for dump charges, and we're hearing flat fees that are pretty high this year. And, of course, some projected prices as well as rail issues.
And now that you've heard a whole slew of things, Bill Turney, anything that everybody missed or that's on top of your mind?
Well, I guess the theme is that I think the consequences of the record crops that we're going to have or projected to have in the U.S. and globally is going to have an impact for at least another 2 years. And I think producers who might be in shock about the very sharp decline in commodity prices over the last 12 to 18 months need to consider that we could see significant further declines in the 2015 crop. So the gentleman from Andersons who said, you know, people need to understand that they have marketing alternatives that are available to them, I would extend that to start thinking about, if they haven't already, what they're going to be doing for the 2015 crop.
All right, so why don't we stay with you, Bill, and I want to know why you think this will spread over a two-year period.
Well, first off, and I've seen commentary, plus I've talked to people that talk about cost of production and how farmers are going to cut acres because prices are falling below cost of production. First off, cost of production are not fixed. They do rise and fall. They never fall as much as farmers would like to see them fall, but they do fall. The second thing is, throughout my career, looking at, particularly in the U.S., farmers' response to low crop prices, farmers' response to low farm incomes, rarely has resulted in significant decreases in planted acres. Planted acres generally in the past have only gone down when the government steps in and creates programs or incentives for farmers to cut acres. I do not believe that over the next 2 to 3 years the U.S. government is going to do that. I don't think they're in the mood, and I think the last farm bill that we had is about all that Congress is going to come up with in a significant way. So I don't think we're going to see significant acreage reductions. And if we don't get those, and we get trend yields, I think that the very large carryover stocks that we're expected to have this year are going to grow, and that's going to increase, I'd say, the pessimism. It's going to create a psychology of pessimism in the market. So we could be seeing a period of 2 to 3 years of sustained and falling crop prices.
Okay, so complicating this matter, Brian Stark, I think, may be what you mentioned with USDA and the number of available ears. So, and I was thinking about what Bill had to say about not cutting back on acreage. And what appears to have happened is that there are more ears this month than there were last month from the USDA counts.
Yeah, and I would also extrapolate the fact that as you get closer to the October, November, January crop reports, you'll get more accurate weights, obviously actual yields, and we still believe that you could see weights that are equivalent to not only 09 but equal to, or even better than 04. So the crop size is going to get bigger, and I agree with Bill. I think this is going to extend out a couple of years, and not to drive too much pessimism, but I think that the bigger concern we see is in the oilseed complex and the fact that you've got a potential record-breaking crop in beans as well. In South America, it seems like they're going to be planting a lot more bean acres relative to corn this past year. So unless there's a weather issue this winter for their growing season, they're probably going to grow a 90 million metric ton plus crop. And then all of a sudden, you've got maybe $1.50 to $2 downside in November 15 beans. So that's been our focus. It's not just about the 14 crop. Producers have an opportunity now to start defending. And then if something were to transpire in the next year or two with demand, with cheaper prices, we can then protect ourselves against that. But I think we're entering in a dynamic now where defense becomes the norm.
You are not the only person that we've had that has mentioned, and many of our analysts have mentioned, making sales of new crop soybeans both this year and next year, or for this year and next year. I'm wondering whether you have options, Brian, for corn producers as they're looking at harvesting a really big crop this year.
I think right now corn is going to be dragged down by the soybeans if we see continued pressure on the bean complex. Corn is reaching to a point where technical targets around 330 of the Dees. You're right around that area where you may set a fall low at some point here in the next 30 to 60 days, whereas we don't see a low in beans happening to potentially next winter, as I mentioned earlier, once we determine what the South American crop's going to do. So our advice to the grower, especially if he doesn't have much priced, is on any significant bounce, which could happen. There's a little potential confusing data that the FSA office is going to release this coming Tuesday as we look towards the October report and potential acreage changes that maybe gives a little bit of a short covering bounce, but any 10 to 20 cent rally in corn still needs to be sold.
Okay, so for Brian and for Bill, I just need just one word answer. Relatively speaking, over this year, next year, and the following year, at least for Bill, will the season's average cash price, and I'm driving towards a point here, so bear with me, for corn buying from from WASDE, that last figure, be below $3.30?
For the 2014, 15, 16, 17.
I think our
WASDE price forecast will be coming down. Yes.
Okay. Below 330.
Yes.
Okay, Brian.
I'm going to say no.
Okay. All right. So now we're going to talk with Jackie and Bill a little bit, and I will give you the reason that I gave you the $3.30, because I've been out on the road, and many of the analysts have been with me at some meetings at the farm credit offices in the southern part of Illinois. And while the reference price for the PLC program, which is the price loss coverage program, is $3.70, the break point at which you either choose ARC County or PLC is $3.30. And I happen that that number comes from Gary Schnitke. So if it's below 330, the more likely, and you think it's going to be there for 5 years, not for one or two, then you choose PLC. Otherwise, you might choose ARC. Okay. With that set up, let's talk with you, Jackie, about the marketplace. And maybe you can talk about the U.S. dollar as it relates to what we've had this discussion and your pricing thoughts, too.
Well, you know, there's no question the U.S. dollar's gained about 5.6% since the 10th of July. And, you know, that's just another evil twist to everything that's going on. You know, we couldn't have poorer timing in terms of heading into a record crop and now finding the U.S. dollar climbing, making it more expensive for our importers, especially Japan, who is now back in the number one driver's seat to buy our product, and gives an advantage to the people who compete with us. The one thing I think when you look at the USDA and you look at, you know, we dropped from 390 to 350 on this report. They were using harvested acres. They didn't change their harvested acres, and they don't on September. And so, you know, Brian mentioned the FSA numbers that are coming out. We know from the last round they already said there was 1.5 million prevented plant. The big question in my mind is, you know, last year we went from 97.4 million acres intentions to 99 million acres intentions. Are we actually going to pick up an extra 2 million intentions that we didn't recognize were there on corn and on beans? When you look at Nebraska and Kansas planting double crop beans, will those acres, were they in the June report, and will they take the place of some of the prevented plant acres? You know, those are puzzle pieces that we that just don't quite fit in just yet, you know. And so when you look at a pricing, I agree with Bill. I think that we could be sub 330 cash. You know, you look out, and if you take a weekly chart and you just look from April of this year on corn to September's low, 517 to 335 and three quarters we put in this week, that projects us down to 266 and a half. If you look at some of the cycle trades, down to 264. You look at what the U.S. dollar did back in 2008 when we rallied 7% on the dollar, and it was projecting out 264. And so, you know, a lot of the traders are very technical people, too. So, you know, they look at all of this. Now, I hear things like, well, I'll never sell any corn at that level. But we all, like Bill was talking about the fact that acres don't usually change very much. We know that it gets sold. That's the question. And so, you know, there's an awful lot. On beans, it projects it out to 863 is what it does. In other words, an 8 in front of November beans. We're all hoping that's not going to happen. You know, but hope's not a strategy. So I think we have to be realistic. And when you looked at the, you know, Brian talked about the ear weights. Take a look at the pod weights on those beans are unbelievable. That's the highest pod weight we've ever seen in grams, 0.32. It blew away everything else we've ever seen at 1,650 pods. 0.305 is the highest we've ever been before at 1,450 pods. So if we have a frost this weekend, which everybody's hoping for, you know, I heard that today so many times. They all wanted to freeze, but not where they are. And we lose some of the beans up in the North Dakota area. How much is the 75 to 100 bushel beans that we're getting down in the Delta going to offset some of that? That's the thing none of us know.
Okay. Bill Gentry, you've been I've had you patiently waiting. I'm looking for some better news.
Yeah. I think that one of the things that we've just kind of danced around with the USDA is probably not likely to reduce acres, but what I think the producers are going to look at very, very closely now that prices are a lot lower than they were a while ago is their revenue potential per acre and their profitability per acre. And I think realistically, we may see a shift in acreage use over the next couple years, which may actually amplify some of our price moves. One of the things that we're fairly certain about is, let's say, lower corn acres next year in the United States and also probably some smaller corn acres in South America. If that turns out to be the case, we get in kind of a lopsided teeter-totter between corn and beans. And, of course, we do not want to forget wheat. One of the things that we've noticed, Chuck was down in Texas last week, and realizing they had a 2-inch rain down there, and their soil profile is probably the best it's been in many years. And we think that wheat acres are going to be tremendously large down there, and that may actually work its way up into a more portion of the south or central Midwest. So what I think the producers may look at is see what is my profitability and what is my crop mix. Maybe we'll do a little rationing of acres between corn and beans and wheat than we've seen over the last several years. You know, a lot of guys have been continuous corn. That may not work anymore. So I think realistically, if we happen to see light corn acres next year, then maybe with a weather spook or something, the price possibilities may be a little bit higher. I think that 330 mark as far as a fair value level looking forward is fine. But I would plan on spending some time both above and below that price to some magnitude, maybe 25 or 35 cents would not be surprising on either side of that.
Well, and I, Todd, you know, Bill, you bring up a really good point. One thing that I've been hearing, though, that would back up to me that we're probably going to still see as many corn acres as I've had. I'll bet you 10 guys this week that have talked to me about going to their seed dealers and saying, hey, I'm not going to spend $400 on a bag of seed. I'm going to go back to a more traditional bag of seed, you know, and I'm not going to buy all the triple stack and everything else. And so, you know, that's one thing. The other thing they're saying is, hey, I've put a lot of fertilizer on in these last years when we had high prices. I can go a year without fertilizer. And so I think, you know, whether we like it or not, we like to plant corn. And we don't like to change our rotation, you know. So in the main states, you're talking about the wheat coming in and some of the other parts. I couldn't agree with you more on that. But at the same time, the world's washed in wheat right now. So how good a price are we going to have for that is the question.
Sure.
All right. So let's see. We're at, I think I have had everybody mention 330 at this point, which is a little scary. And honestly, that is truly a break point. Let me go through some of the numbers very quickly and we'll that I have been hearing while I've been out on the road with Gary Schnitke and Jonathan Kappas. Remember, the farm program sign-up has not started, and it won't actually officially start until after January 1, so this is something you don't have to worry about. But $3 is a $3.30 is kind of a break point. If you come and listen to one of our programs, and there's just one left, that in Harrisburg next week on the 17th, at Milano's, I believe, in Harrisburg, if I remember correctly. You can look it up on our website. I haven't put the restaurant there. That's in deep southern Illinois. But $3.30 is one of the break points. Those of you who happen to have, and I'll take just one more minute here, the letter from the FSA, and this will be anybody who owns property, who owns a piece of farmland, will have gotten a letter from FSA, and you've been thinking about that letter and not doing anything about it, and it said you've got 60 days, which I believe is up at the end of the month of September, and now you're worried. Here's what that letter means. It's just cleaning your data up. You're doing nothing more than cleaning data up. So take a look at the data that's in there. There are probably some yields there. There are certainly acreages there. If any of those look wrong, you need to call FSA and get them cleaned up. But if they look right, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it at all. You don't have to call FSA at this point. And FSA would appreciate it if you didn't all call them at this point, because there's going to be a time when you certainly are going to call them. So those are kind of the numbers there. A couple of other items. University of Illinois Extension is just finishing up AggieCon upstairs. Some work on the calculators that you'll be using. In the next couple of weeks at the FarmDoc website, you'll be able to find them and put your own numbers in for the farm programs. That at farmdoc.illinois.edu, and make some calculations and see how things might pay out from the farm programs. Of course, you're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is Commodity Week. We'll be back in just a moment. This edition of Commodity Week was recorded on the 12th day of September. Our panelists today include Bill Gentry. He's at Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana. Jackie Vakes from Stewart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Brian Stark also from Champaign County at the Anderson's Grain Elevator, and Bill Turney of AgriSource Company out of Chicago, Illinois. Bill, I want to come, Turney that is, I want to come back to you for just a minute. You talked a bit about corn, but soybeans are kind of a different thing at this point. You did suggest producers maybe need to look further out to make sales into 15. Are you positive about that?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Well, first off, unlike corn, the most important soybean crop in the world is not grown in the United States. It's grown in South America. some of the other speakers have mentioned that there is a broad consensus that South American farmers are going to plant more soybeans. There is indication that soil moisture is good and that there are some forecasts out. CONOP came out with a forecast. AgroConsult came out with a forecast. And Safrost today came out with a forecast for Brazil. And when you consider that there is limited potential for growth in global consumption of soybeans, limited potential, and that overwhelmingly is concentrated in China, and that even though we're looking for Chinese imports to be up 4 to 5 million metric tons, that's not enough to absorb the rather dramatic increase in global supplies. So it is likely that we're going to have even larger ending stocks than what the USDA is projecting. And I think this is ultimately just going to push down November 2015 prices. Essentially, I would say that the biggest downside risk of the three principal commodities we've talked about, soybeans, corn, and wheat, I'd say on a dollar basis and on a percentage basis, the biggest downside risk is in soybeans.
Brian Stark, you agree with that?
Absolutely agree with that. And we see $1.50 to $2 downside potential in November 15 beads for everything Bill just said. Spot on, in my opinion, and I think that's what we talk about to our producers about. There's still opportunities to do some things. Now's not the time to panic or to sit tight and hope for a rally, because Jackie mentioned earlier, hope isn't a strategy, and that's the focus. I think, you know, there could be a big shift. We don't know in the United States. We know that's kind of the lean in South America. I think you can afford to sit back and be a little patient on December 15 corn for a minute. Maybe there's a four in front of it. That's kind of our targets, where we'd look to maybe sell or start selling some 15 corn. But November beans at a percentage and dollar basis definitely is the most downside.
Well, let's take a final moment and get a word from each of you. We'll continue our conversation off air, so be sure to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. But here on air, I do want to wrap up, and we'll start with Jackie Vakes. Very quickly, a final word for our on-air listeners. Jackie?
Well, I certainly want to see all of you stay very safe over this harvest time. It's a very difficult time. I'm seeing it already in my Kansas guys who are harvesting right now. There's never been a time that it's been more important that you know the value of your average crop.
Brian Stark, very quickly.
I think the biggest thing is to focus on opportunities to sell the crop and potentially cheap option volatility to protect the upside rather than putting grain on DP.
Bill Gentry.
Be safe, and also make sure that you implement your strategies. Don't just think of what you want to do. Actually put the orders in and make it happen.
Our thanks, of course, to Bill Gentry, Jackie Vakes, Brian Stark, and especially to our special guest, Bill Turney. We'll continue our conversation off-air. You can hear the rest of Commodity Week at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.